We're going to read a lot of scriptures this morning, and if you don't have a Bible, just listen along and follow along, and I'll read the verses to you. But if you have your Bible, you can open it, keep it open, and we'll look at several scriptures today. And I'm asking God to speak to our hearts and challenge us. As you know, if you've been coming to our church, you knew our theme for the year was the thought of learning how to kneel, learning how to sit, learning how to stand, to walk, and to run. And I began for the first probably 4 months of our year, 4.5 months even, preaching some messages about learning how to kneel. And now for a month or two, I'm going to preach some messages, maybe a month, 6 weeks, about learning how to sit. And as I was studying some words in the Bible, some of the messages will be positive towards when we should sit. And last Sunday night, for example, I preached on sit still and trust God. And that's a good time to sit still. But this morning, I want to preach on something very anti-sitting. And the title of the message is The Wrong Time to Stay Sitting. The Wrong Time to Stay Sitting. And I pray that you'll take the message with a good heart. As I prepared it, I was just excited about the thought of the message. And then this morning, for whatever reason, maybe it's the devil trying to convince me that I shouldn't preach this, I began to feel, oh, some might not take it the right way. Some might hear the preaching and just think I'm trying to get on them. I'm on their case, or, you know, but that's not at all. It was just as I studied the Word of God, a truth that was an exciting thought to me, and then I tried to apply it simply to our Christian lives and some things that I believe God desires for us in our Christian life. And so I pray that you'll desire God to speak to your heart this morning. And that you'll yield to God, you'll listen to God. He wants us to serve Him out of an obedient heart, doing the will of God from the heart, the Bible says in the New Testament. And I hope you'll listen and receive the message well. Even if you'd look and say, well, He's talking to me. He knows that there's some things that I do or don't do that I should be doing. Well, that's fine. God knows it too. And it may be that God wanted to speak to your heart, not me. And that was the intention, I promise you. What God desires in our life. And God speaks to me as well and challenges me, and I hope He'll speak to your heart as well today. Numbers chapter 32, and let's stand together here for the reading of God's Word. The book of Numbers in the Old Testament, fourth book of the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 32. And we'll begin reading there in verse number 1 down through verse number 7. The Bible says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle." Reuben and Gad are two of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this was at a time when they were going to enter into the promised land and so on. Eventually they would. Moses ends up giving some instruction to the tribes. And this is where we bring the lesson from. "The children of Reuben, the children of Gad, had a very great multitude of cattle. When they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah, Heshbon and Eliah and Shebam, Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan," referring to the Jordan River. "And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them?" If you can understand it for just a moment, these are two of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And each of them was going to receive a portion of the land for their inheritance in the promised land, in Canaan land. They would end up later, Joshua would end up dividing 12 portions of land and saying, this is for your tribe, this is for the tribe of Judah, this is for the tribe of Reuben, this is for the tribe of, you know, and so on. They were each going to have their own inheritance in the land. And these two tribes, Reuben and Gad, said, we like this land here on this side of the Jordan River.
This is an area where there's enemies that will be driven out, and this will too become a part of our land, but for the Israelite people as a whole. But they said to Moses, can we just stay on this side of the Jordan River? We like this. It's going to be good ground and good land for us to be able to have our cattle herds and so on. Can we stay here and stay on this side of the Jordan River and have this land to be our inheritance? And Moses said to them, notice what he said, verse 6 again. He said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Moses was going to say to them, listen, for us to go in, we the 12 tribes, we're going to have to all go in and conquer the promised land. Every one of the 12 tribes needs to have a part in going in and conquering the promised land and driving out the enemy so that this becomes our land and our possession. And after that's all said and done, then we will divide up the land for an inheritance for the 12 tribes. And Moses was reminding them and saying, oh, it would not be right for you to just, well, this is our land on the side of the Jordan River, so we don't need to go in. We don't need to go across the Jordan River. We don't need to go across with our brothers or with the brethren or with the rest of the tribes. We've got our land here and everything's okay for us. He said, no. You are going to need to go in as well. Go in and help us conquer the promised land. He said, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to our hearts now. Holy Spirit of God, help me to say exactly what you want me to say, and help us to listen with yielded ears and yielded hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Again, I hope you understand here what's happening in the story. Again, notice verse 6. He says, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Shall your brethren, shall your brothers, shall they go into war and have to do battle and drive out the enemies? And you're just going to sit back here on this side of the Jordan River, and you know, you're going to have your cattle and you're going to build your house and be sitting on your porch with having your drinking your lemonade and stuff. And your brothers are there at war doing battle to help conquer the land. He said, notice what he said about it in verse 7. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Sitting at the wrong time can discourage the hearts of the brethren. And that's what Moses was trying to teach them, trying to remind them. He said, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? He said, if you were just to sit here on this side of the Jordan River, and now you've got your land and you've got your possession, you're cozy and everything's good and wonderful for you, and you're not willing to go with your brethren and with the other tribes and go in and conquer the promised land and drive out the enemies, oh, that will discourage their hearts. I want to make several statements this morning and try to apply them, some biblical truths that we can apply in our lives this morning. Number one, it's not time to sit at home when church is going on. Everybody's going to smile at me lots this morning, right? Because you love me and you love the Word of God. It's not time to sit at home when church is going on. Again, look with me at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Oh, you think preachers often like to quote verse 25 and so on, but I like that verse in context with the verses around it, because the verses around it teach us really just why it is so very, very important. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24 says this, and let us consider one another. I'm to do what I do with the consideration of other people. I'm to choose to do something or be somewhere where I should be and I'm supposed to be. Why? Because I'm considering some other people. Some other people might like to see me there. Some other people might be encouraged by my being in my place and being faithful and so on. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, as we as Christians are supposed to provoke one another in a good way. We're to prod one another in a good way that our lives become an encouragement to one another. And he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Listen, it's not time to sit at home when church is going on. We should do everything we possibly can to be faithful to church so that we're an encouragement to our brethren. We're supposed to edify, the Bible would teach us. We're supposed to build up one another. We're to strengthen one another, exhort one another, encourage one another. And we do that through the local church. We do that through faithfully assembling together for the services of a church and the meetings of a church. That encourages us. We need preaching and so on to encourage us. But one of the great things about church is coming together with people that can give you a God bless you. And I'm praying for you. And you share, and you maybe know some of the hurts that are going on in another person's life. And you can say to them, I'm praying for you. And I care about you. Listen, church is meant to encourage one another and help one another and build up one another. But if we stay at home, and we're missing that. We're missing what God maybe could have done to encourage us and strengthen us. But we also, somebody else might be missing what we could have done to edify, to build up, to encourage them. Listen, it's not time to sit at home when church is going on. Boy, we're hard hitting right from point number one, aren't we? It's not time to sit at home when church is going on. We need one another. Do you know that the pastor enjoys much better preaching to a person than to an empty chair? He does. I can expect to see and look to see David Edwards sitting over here, somewhere on the end of a row. I can look to see him. You know what? If that face isn't there, where is he? I miss him. You know what? I like to see your faces. I like to see you. And you know what? Others like to see you. Others like, oh, there's so-and-so. I'm glad. Oh, where's so-and-so? I miss them today. I've missed them the last few weeks. Where they been? I miss them. You know what? It's not time to stay at home when church is going on. We need to encourage the brethren. Number two, it's not time to sit at home when it's soul winning time. When it's soul winning time. In Mark 16:15, the Bible tells us, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you know there are people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? There are people that need to be reached. There are people that need the message of the gospel, need to know about Jesus and what He did for them on the cross of Calvary. And do you know something else? There is someone that only you can reach. And you think, oh, Pastor, that's your job. It's your job to reach people. I just get to go to church and I can show up for church whenever I feel like it. And that's really all I got to do. No, you know, there is somebody that only you can reach. Do you know that there is someone, maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody that you work with, that I'll never meet or that I won't have a connection with, but you've got a connection with? There is somebody who you might have the same nationality as them. You may have some of the same interests as them. And if you were to go soul winning or you were to make some efforts, you'd find that there's some person, some co-worker, some neighbor that God could use you to be the one to reach that person. And I could never reach them. They would see me and, oh, he's the preacher. I'm not listening to him. Oh, he's the pastor of Gospel Baptist Church. I'd never listen to them. But somebody might listen to you because you're just their friend. Or you're just their neighbor. Or you're just their co-worker. Or you're somebody who's the same nationality as them. Or speaks the same language as them. When I could never try to speak that language. Hey, there's somebody that you could reach. God wants to use you to reach people. Oh, it's not time to sit at home when church is going on. It's not time to sit at home when it's soul winning time. It's not time to sit at home when the church is trying to reach the community with the gospel. Look at what the Bible says in Luke 14 and verse 23. These were the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. Compel is, you know, you're pleading with them. You're urging them. You're begging them, inviting them. Oh, I want you to come in. He said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know what we're trying to do for next Sunday? Just as the example that Jesus gave in Luke 14:23 and so on. They were having a feast. And He said, I want my house to be filled. I want you to invite everybody we can. Hey, well, we're going to have a feast next week. We're going to have a feast physically and nourishing to the body, but we also want to have a feast spiritually with the Word of God being preached. And what God wants to use us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them and invite them and tell them, hey, we want you to come in. We want the house to be filled. We want the church to be full. Oh, God could use you to do that. It's not time to sit at home when the church is trying to reach the community with the gospel. Empty seats need to be filled. People need to be invited to church. Neighbors need to be invited. Co-workers need an invitation to your church. People in our city need to know that there's a church that loves them and cares about them. People need to know that there's a place where everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter what their ethnic background is or what their religious background is. There's a place where somebody will love them and somebody will tell them about the love of God. Listen, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And people need to know there's a place where they can come. There's a place where they can be loved. It's not time to sit at home when the church is trying to reach the community with the gospel. And number four, it's not time to sit at home when it's time to work. Look with me at the book of John, chapter number 9. In John chapter 9, and again, you're going to see here the words of Jesus Christ. John chapter 9 and verse 4 and 5. I said this, it's not time to sit at home when it's time to work. Probably many of you work a day shift job, and on Monday morning you'll go to work. And on Tuesday morning you'll go to work. And on Wednesday morning you'll go to work. And if you didn't show up for work someday, your boss would be concerned. Where are you? You didn't call us? You didn't come in? Are you okay? You're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be at work this morning. Oh, it's not time to sit at home when it's time to work, is it? John chapter 9 and verse 4 says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ, speaking about Himself, said, I'm to do the works of the one that sent me, His Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father too. I'm to do the works of Him that sent me. There's some works that He was supposed to accomplish while He was here on earth. And He realized, I've only got so much time to work. Listen, when it's time to work, it's time to work. It's not time to sit at home. It's time for us to be busy and do the things that God has created us and made us to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God saves us. He gloriously saves us by grace through faith when we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for us. But the very next verse is where God tells us we're His workmanship. And He's created us in Christ Jesus to do some good works. There are good works that God wants you to do. And for those works to be done, we must be busy. We must have a part. Oh, all of at our home, all of our girls, we have four girls. Have to count. Now we have four girls and three boys now in our home, and they're a blessing and a joy. And we all stay upstairs in our home, and the girls just share one big bedroom. Sharing one big bedroom with four girls of four different ages can be interesting at times, especially when it comes to cleaning the room. Every day they get to clean their bedroom. They get to clean their bedroom. And it doesn't take long for those girls to make a mess. They clean it. A little while later, it's a mess. If some of the smallest girls start sitting down on the job, you know what? Some of the older girls don't really like that. We're supposed to clean our room, and you're over there playing again, and you're sitting, and I'm doing all the cleaning. You know what? They don't like doing all the cleaning and doing all the work when the other ones are just sitting down, playing, and doing nothing. You think there ever could be times where maybe the brethren could have their hearts discouraged to feel like that? Why am I working? Why am I laboring? Why am I busy trying to serve Christ? And, hey, where's my little brother? Where's my little sister? How come they're not helping? They're not helping to clean up or to do this, whatever it may be. Maybe all of us at some point in our life, perhaps as a teenager, as children, or maybe in a different work situation, we've not liked it when we're supposed to be working together with a group of people and somebody else is sitting down on the job. We'd never like that. As we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, let's remember it's a privilege that we get to serve the Lord together.
When there's work and we're to do work for the Lord, let's do it together. During World War II, the nation of England needed to increase its production of coal. Coal was, one of the most common forms of energy and so on back in those days. Winston Churchill called together some of the labor leaders to enlist their support. And at the end of his presentation, he asked them to picture in their minds a parade which he knew would be held in England after the war. He said, "I want you to picture a celebration, a parade that's going to take place. First," he said, "I want you to imagine that in that parade there's coming some sailors who had kept the ceilings open. And then after them in the parade, I want you to picture and imagine some soldiers who've come home from Dunkirk and then gone on to defeat Rommel in Africa. And then I want you to picture in that parade there coming some pilots who had flown their airplanes and helped to drive the Luftwaffe from the sky. Last of all," he said, "I want you to picture in your mind a long, long line of sweat-stained and dirty men in miners' hats. And someone from the crowd along the streets would maybe say to them, 'And where were you during the critical days of our war? What did you do for the war? How did you help?' And from 10,000 throats would come the answer, 'We were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal.'" Can I tell you something? We all have very important jobs to be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're the pilot flying the airplane or if you're in a mine somewhere digging out the coal. They were all vital to the war effort. Even those ladies who sacrificed and gave up gold and so on to help the war effort, those people that gave up and sacrificed, they all had a part. Listen, it's important that we not sit down on the job, but that we're busy working for the Lord and doing the things He asks us to do. Every one of us has an important job to do in the work of the Lord, and let's be sure that we're not sitting, but instead that we're up and doing the work that God has for us to do. Another thing, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's not time to sit at home when people still need to hear about Christ. It's not time to sit at home when people still need to hear about Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:34, the Bible says, "Awake to righteousness." I shouldn't change the scriptures, but if I could, for the sake of the message, I would say, get up. Get up. Quit sitting down. Stand up and do something. "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." The Word of God reminds us there's some that still don't have the knowledge of God. There are some people that still need to hear about the wonderful love of God. They need to know about His amazing grace. They need to know about His great salvation that He offers freely to anyone that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? There are some people who don't really know who Jesus is. Some people have never even heard the name of Jesus. That might seem hard to fathom, but there are many people like that in this world. They've never heard the name of Jesus. There are some people who know the name of Jesus, but they don't really know who He is. They think He was just a good man. They think He was just another prophet. He was maybe like Elijah or Moses or somebody like that. They don't really know who Jesus is. They don't know that He's truly the Son of God and that He died on the cross to be the Savior of the world, that He's the Messiah. Listen, it's not time to sit at home when there's still some people in this world that need to hear about Jesus Christ. Next thing, quickly, it's not time to sit at home when we're doing battle with the enemy. Just in Ephesians, it'll be just a little bit to the right in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Our next point this morning is this. It's not time to sit at home when we're doing battle with the enemy. In Ephesians 6:10 it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Listen, we do have a real enemy.
Satan is a real enemy, and it's time to stand. It's not time to sit. It's not time to cower and sit and do nothing. With God's strength and with God's Spirit and with God's power, with God's help, He wants us to stand in this generation. When we live in a day and age where there's a lot of darkness and spiritual darkness in the world, He wants us to stand, not to be sitting. Stand in the battle. Stand when we're doing battle with the enemy. Stand together and let's stand for right and make our lives count for all eternity. The next thing I want you to see is down there in verse 18. Our next point is this. It's not time to sit at home and do nothing when it's time for the church to pray. It's not time to sit at home and do nothing when it's time for the church to pray. Verse 18, Paul reminds him of the importance of prayer. And he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen, it's time for the church to pray. Paul says it's urgent. It's important. Believers need to pray for one another. Can I tell you something? We need to spend more time on our knees in prayer. As a church, as a Christian, yes, and in our home, yes, but even as a church, we need to spend more time together on our knees in prayer for one another. Spend more time in prayer for our missionaries. Spend more time in prayer for our church. Listen, the need is great. We can't win in this battle with darkness. We can't defeat the enemy. We can't succeed in the Christian life in this day and age without prayer. We must pray. We need to get off our seat and spend time on our knees and spend time in prayer and spend time praying for others. Next point this morning, very quickly, it's not time to sit at home when the church is gathered together for prayer. Look at Acts chapter 1, if you would, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 13. It's not time to sit at home when the church is gathered together, specifically for the purpose of prayer. Prayer. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. These apostles, with several women and other disciples and so on, and Mary and other brethren, Christian brethren, they were gathered together for a prayer meeting. They were kneeling together in that upper room to pray. You know what? I personally think there was probably more. We say that there was about 120 believers gathered in that upper room for that prayer meeting. I think there was probably more than 120 believers at that time. But a whole bunch of people missed out on seeing God do something awesome. We know the results of the prayer meeting in Acts chapter 2. God did some amazing things. But you know what? Some were sitting at home and they missed that prayer meeting. They were not gathered for prayer. Listen, when the church comes together to pray on a Sunday evening or on a Wednesday night, oh, how God's people ought to be there. The church ought to be there present and accounted for. Nothing is more vital than prayer. Oh, we can have everything else and we're big for this and there's excitement for this. But how often have prayer meetings become, oh, I don't want to go pray. I'd be uncomfortable having to pray with somebody else. I just don't got time to pray. Oh, our churches need to pray. Prayer is the source of our power. One man said, when we work. But when we pray, God works. God works. We need to pray. Adrian Rogers said this, prayer is not just getting ready for Christian service. Prayer is Christian service. Let's pray. Let's get together. You might think that you don't have the physical ability to maybe go out soul winning. You might think I couldn't go and I couldn't be able to walk and talk to some neighbors and go through a neighborhood and pass out some flyers. I wouldn't even have the strength to do that. But could you come and could you pray? Could you come and kneel together? Or could you come and just spend some time with some other men or some other ladies and spend that time in prayer? Leonard Ravenhill, speaking about churches and their prayer meetings, said this, never have so many left so much to so few. In other words, never have so many people left so much, something so important, to so few people. How sad it is in this 21st century that the least attended service in almost any church in the world is the prayer meeting. It doesn't seem silly and ridiculous? When God is the source of our power, and God is to be the source of our strength, but why is it that these people come for a service on a Sunday morning, fewer people come for another service, and fewer people for another Bible study, and fewer people still for a prayer meeting? How backwards and how foolish and how crazy are we that we're neglecting God? Prayer is so important, but often so neglected by Christians today. It should not be surprising if churches are losing the power of God and losing their influence in a community when believers do not come together to pray as faithfully or as often as we should. Listen, it's not time to sit at home when the church is gathered together for prayer. But we think, but my favorite TV show is on that night of the week. That's bad planning, Pastor. If you did it on a different night, I'd be there for sure. So we're saying that our favorite TV show is more important than prayer? Would you really like to tell that to God? Trust me, if I change it to another night of the week, it wouldn't matter because you'd have another new favorite show on that night of the week. Everybody smile. Amen. I'll be done soon. Amen. It's not time to sit at home and do little or nothing for Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back again. We sang that song this morning, coming again, coming again. Listen, He is coming again. And it's not time to sit at home. It's not time to do little for Christ. It's not time to do nothing for Christ. It's time to be up and at it. It's time to be up and working and serving and busy for the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is coming back again. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Listen, I don't know when He's coming back again, but it's nearer than when I first believed. The Bible doesn't tell us the exact day or the exact time, but as we know the Word of God and know even the prophetical events of the Word of God, Jesus Christ is coming back again soon. I may not die on this earth. I may be raptured and taken to heaven. My kids may be raptured and taken to heaven without ever experiencing death, because I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And if there was ever a time for believers to be serious and faithful about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, it's now, because our salvation is near. The return of Jesus Christ is near. Let's be faithful to Him. He's returning. Let's be busy laboring until He comes back. It's not the time for resting, for being at ease, for sitting down and doing nothing. Hey, you can sit down in glory land, sit down in heaven. If God gives you a chance, you can rest for all eternity. But right now, it's time to work. Right now, it's time to be busy for Jesus. It's not time to sit down yet. It's not time to sit down yet. Another thing, point very quickly this morning, it's not time to sit at home when a preacher, a friend, a missionary is working for God alone. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the Bible says this, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him." When a missionary labors alone for Christ in a difficult place, without another missionary, without another man, without another family to encourage them, to lift them up, they can be more easily discouraged. They often just cannot do some things or accomplish some things that two or three families working together could do. Listen, this is not the time for young people to stay in their seat and say, "I won't surrender, I won't go." This is not the time for a Christian to say, "Oh no, I would never want my kids to be missionaries. I wouldn't ever want my children to go serve the Lord. And what if God called them to some other country? What if I didn't get to be with my grandkids all the time?" Oh, it's not the time for that. It's time to be willing to surrender. It's time to be willing to give up ourselves to do what God wants us to do. Hey, the need is so great. It's not time to sit at home when a preacher, a friend, a missionary is working for God alone. Let me share with you another illustration of what can happen even in a local church. Imagine with me in your mind this morning a faithful Christian man or lady laboring each week in their local church. serving mostly in obscurity. And maybe they were not the pastor, and maybe their work was never noticed. But maybe they came very early on a Sunday morning to set up facilities for a church. And they cleaned the floors, and they set up chairs, and they put out song books, and they made sure that they were all straight. And they set up some nurseries, and they set up some Sunday school classrooms, and made sure that everything was prepared for people to be able to come and enjoy some services and classes. And they did this for month after month and year after year, but nobody ever joined them. Nobody ever helped them. Nobody ever said thank you. And they became discouraged by serving alone. And they eventually quit serving. Picture it with me in your mind. Think of perhaps another man or another lady that faithfully each week showed up for a church soul winning or visitation time. And they went out alone to try to knock on doors and invite people to church. And they showed up for special days to distribute flyers and gospel tracts in the community. They even brought their family along. And they did this all spring and all summer and all fall. And they were happy in their heart serving the Lord because, you know, the pastor had told them it was important for Christians to be witnesses for Christ. But rarely did anyone ever join them. Well, sometimes a few, but never more than five or six. And eventually that person became very discouraged at trying to continue doing something so important that no one else in the church seemed to think was very important. And so they just ended up quitting. Can I say that that sort of stuff sometimes happens for pastors or for missionaries or for just regular, ordinary Christians in a church who love God and want to serve God and have a zeal to serve God? How sad it is that sometimes people become discouraged and quit because they feel alone when others, for whatever reason, just stay sitting at home. Look with me at Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians 1. It's not time to sit at home when your Christian brothers and sisters are busy trying to serve the Lord. We ought to encourage one another, labor together. Philippians 1 verse 27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation," that means your lifestyle, your way of living, "be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Listen, we ought to strive together for the sake of the gospel. We ought to stand firmly with one heart and one mind and one spirit and one purpose to say, "I'm going to serve Christ," and we want to please God with our lives. We're to stand fast together and we're to strive together in serving Christ. Striving together is not just everybody sitting at home on their couch, each one by themselves. No, it's working together, praying together, serving together, being together. It's not time to sit at home. Last point. It's not time to sit at home when we're at war for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible reminds us of something that our enemy is trying to do. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is real. Now, he's not a guy in a black suit with red horns and a red pitchfork. That's not what he looks like, but he is real. He actually would not look like that at all. He was an angel of light. Much more deceptive than that. He doesn't come to you with a pitchfork. He comes to you very deceptive-like. The enemy's real. Satan or the devil is real. Listen to this other verse very carefully. In Revelation 12, the Bible says this, "For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." You hear what the Bible says about the devil? He's come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Revelation 12:12. Listen, he's your adversary, and as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. And he's doing it with great wrath and with great anger, because he knows he's only got a short time. His time is limited. His ability to work and to deceive and to destroy, he's only got as much time as God allows him. Satan is not in control. He knows his time is short. He knows that his end judgment is going to be the lake of fire. But he's working hard, doing everything he can to take everybody he can with him. He's not sitting back and doing nothing. He's not sitting back and doing little. No, Satan is working as hard as he can to deceive as many people as he can and to try to keep them from knowing the truth. Listen, the devil wants people to go to hell with him. The devil wants to destroy families. The devil wants to deceive people by the sins of this world and by the lusts of this world. He wants to keep Christians from living for God. He wants to keep Christians from being concerned about lost men and women and boys and girls. He wants to do all he can to take them to hell with him. It's not time to sit and do nothing when we're at war for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. The devil wants their souls. The devil wants their life. The devil wants children. The devil wants to destroy. You don't believe it, you're rejecting the Bible. The devil wants believers to sit back and kick up their feet and do little to serve Christ. Do little for the work of God. Do little to show concern for the lost. Do little for world missions. Do little to win lost souls. Do little to reach the community, because the devil is at war with God. The devil hates God, hates Jesus Christ, and therefore hates Christians, because we are the children of God. It's not time to sit at home when we're at war for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Every year in Alaska, there's a 1,000-mile dog sled race that takes place. And they run that race for prize money and prestige to commemorate or to remember an original race that was run to save lives. Back in January of 1926, a 6-year-old by the name of Richard Stanley showed some symptoms of diphtheria, a disease, signaling the possibility of an outbreak in the small town of Nome, Alaska. When the boy died a day later, Dr. Curtis Welch began immunizing the children and adults with an experimental but effective anti-diphtheria serum. But it wasn't long before the doctor's supply ran out, and the nearest serum was in another town in Alaska, 1,000 miles of frozen wilderness away. Amazingly, a group of trappers and prospectors volunteered to cover the distance with their dog sled teams. And operating in relays from trading posts to trapping stations and so on, one sled started out from Nome, and they got word to the other town there, 1,000 miles away, and one dog sled started out there, and one dog sled started out there, and they went from station to station as hard as those dogs could run, as fast as those dogs could run, and continually teams of men and began to run their dogs and be able to meet in the middle and get that serum and take it back to that city. Only one other person ended up dying in that town because of the efforts that those people made to race those 1,000 miles as fast as they could to get something that would help to save some lives. Just like that group of men who sacrificed and made great effort to rescue the lives of people, we too as Christians need to make great effort to rescue the souls of people. We need to recognize that time is short and we don't have much time. Souls are dying without Christ. We must stand up and be counted. Stand up and do something. Have a part in seeking to win the lost to Christ. When God commands His people to do some things, listen, there are so many things that He expects us to do together. Together. Why would God want us to do some things individually that we could do more effectively together? People will say sometimes, well, I can just do it alone, or I can just worship God alone. I don't really need church, or I can just do my own thing. No, you can't, and no, you won't. Listen, God intends for us to do some things together. To assemble together, to pray together, to serve together, to reach a community together. God made each of us a special piece of the puzzle, and the local church is not complete unless we are in our place. Don't you hate to try to put a puzzle together with all the different pieces? And what if you got this puzzle, there's 500 pieces, and you know you're putting the puzzle all together, and then you get to the end of the box and there's no more pieces left, but you're missing a few pieces, or you're missing pieces in the puzzle. Boy, that would be disappointing. Remember this Bible truth this morning. Hearts are encouraged when people serve the Lord together. And hearts can become discouraged when people serve God alone. Do you remember what I said this morning at the very start of the message? Sitting at the wrong time can discourage the hearts of the brethren. Moses said to the people of Israel, "Shall your brethren go to war? Shall you sit here? Are your brethren going to go to war and you're just going to sit here?" It's not time to sit at home when church is going on. It's not time to sit at home when it's soul winning time. It's not time to sit at home when the church is trying to reach the community with the gospel. It's not time to sit at home when it's time to work. It's not time to sit at home when people still need to hear about Christ. It's not time to sit at home when we're doing battle with the enemy. It's not time to sit at home and do nothing when it's time for the church to pray. It's not time to sit at home when the church is gathered together for prayer. It's not time to sit at home and do little or nothing for Christ because Jesus Christ is coming back again soon. It's not time to sit at home when a preacher, a friend, a missionary is working for God alone. It's not time to sit at home when your Christian brothers or sisters are busy trying to serve the Lord. It's not time to sit at home when we're at war for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Soldiers in battle are encouraged by the camaraderie of the people standing and fighting beside them. They're encouraged by that. At the age of 23, Second Lieutenant Carl Marlantes was in charge of 40 Marines during an intense battle in the Vietnam War. Marlantes had moved his men into the jungle as they waited some jets to bomb a hill that the North Vietnamese soldiers had overtaken. Unfortunately, the jets came and dropped their bombs on the wrong hill. So when Marlantes led his men out of the jungle, they were instantly under fire from untouched machine gun positions. Marlantes knew it would only take a few minutes before the enemy rockets and mortars found his troops. The entire mission ground to a halt as the U.S. soldiers ducked behind fallen trees and huddled in shell holes. Marlantes knew what he had to do next. He writes this, "If I didn't get up and lead, we'd get wiped out. I did a lot of things that day, but the one I'm most proud of is that I simply stood up. I simply stood up in the middle of that fine metal and started up the hill. I simply ran forward up the steep hill, zigzagging for the bunker all by myself, hoping my own soldiers wouldn't hit me in the back. It's hard to zigzag while running uphill loaded down with ammunition and grenades. But then in the midst of his solo charge up the hill to take out the enemy, Marlantes suddenly saw some movement out of the corner of his eyes. It was a Marine. And when he stood up and led the action, other soldiers followed. Marlantes writes, he was about 15 meters below me. I saw a soldier zigzagging, falling up and running again. Immediately behind him, a long ragged line of Marines came moving and weaving up the hill behind me. Behind the line were spots of crumpled bodies lying where they'd been hit. They'd all come with me. Everyone was intermingled, weaving, rushing, running for cover, and taking on each hole and bunker one at a time in groups. We, the group, just rushed forward all at once. We couldn't be stopped. Just individuals among us were stopped, but together, we couldn't be stopped. It was then we, and no longer just me." Gospelite Baptist Church, it's the wrong time to stay sitting. It's the wrong time for you to choose to stay sitting. Let us stand up side by side, you know, shoulder to shoulder. And let's stand as soldiers of the Lord, soldiers in the Lord's army. Let's stand as servants of Christ and as brethren, as brothers and sisters and in the family of God. And let's serve the Lord together. And let's assemble together, and let's pray together, and let's serve together, and let's reach a community together. Listen, soldiers will be encouraged. Fellow soldiers will be encouraged by you as a soldier of Christ, being in your place, standing up, taking your place, and doing your part. Let's faithfully serve Him together.